Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. As always, I'm here until the hour of 6. Wherever you're tuned in from, I thank you for picking Eagle FM at this wonderful afternoon. I don't know what the weather is wherever you find yourself, but where I find myself is partly cloudy, and it's the best weather, actually, the best weather. It's a good weather. The best one would be me feeling lazy, you know, binge watching some series in my bed with a bunch of popcorns, and it's raining. Not heavily, just, it's like the medium rare of, you know, of rainfall, but not here, you know, I'll take what I can get when it comes to Mother Nature because of how unpredictable she can be, especially, with the, climate change. Well, basically that we're dealing with. So, as always, as for those of you that did not know, today is International Human Rights Day. It's International Human Rights Day. And, it's also National Women's Day. If you're a Namibian woman, today is a day that is set aside for you. But, well, thank heavens we are just all going to participate because of the, you know, well, we're going to participate, on the International Human Rights Day part. And that's the part that I may actually going to dwell much on. For someone that is more like, I'll just use the word obsessed with global current events. It's becoming more and more difficult to keep up with events that's that are taking place on a global stage, and I don't know the way that we are, you know, the way that the picture is drawn. I think it's more okay. It was once explained by one gentleman. It's something that I've been trying to understand for a very long time. That why is that every time that something every time something good happens. It doesn't spread as much in terms of information sharing as in terms of, in terms of information or narrative of something good doesn't spread as much and as fast in comparison to something bad happening. Take, for example, if you're walking in town square and you assisted someone who was, you assisted a beggar or someone who was homeless, you just assisted them with $100, $200. That news is not going to go very far, but let your trouser fall when you are walking in town square. Hallelujah. All of the sudden, everyone around you finds their, you know, just reaches for their phone and they go straight for the camera. When you are doing something good, no one seems to pay attention, but let something bad happen to you. Hello. Then all of, painfully, it's beginning to become obvious, at least to me, that it's actually human nature, which is actually very painful because we live in a society that's becoming more and more depressed by the day, because of how we are. I believe naturally wired to perceive different forms of information, good things. You can do all kinds of good things. There are not a lot of people that are going to hear about it. But let something bad happen to you, especially something embarrassing. All of the sudden you are trending on social media and you're like, oh, come on. I've been creating content on social media for a very long time. I've been creating content for 3, 4, 5 years and no one seems to be talking about it. But this y'all are interested in. That's why I think for me, you know, it's somewhat very painful to come to the realization of that inherent human nature of dwelling more on something that's negative than something that's positive. We have a lot of good things going on in this planet. We just don't talk about them. We have a lot of good things happening in this country. We don't talk about it. Take, for example, I think this is one of the most painful part of actually being in public office. And I've come to realize that just looking at a local public office of a public office bearers, every time that they do something good, we just talk about it for 1, 2, 3 days and then it dies a natural death. Every time they are caught in a controversy, holy cow. all of the sudden, everyone is a political analyst. What's Caesar's description of that? Caesar found the perfect word. What's up, qualified lawyers? Now come in and we are just doing analysis left, right, and center. And you can also see this in our own individual lives. It's more often said that bad news travel, more like rumors travel faster than the truth. And they say, an allegory, if I can call it that, where the expression naked truth comes from. And it's a very interesting one, one that goes something like, at some point, the truth and lies were friends, and lies convinced the truth for them to go for a swim. And when they got to the, when they got to the lake, truth was the first one to take off his or her clothes. And then, left the clothes, on the bank of the pond, and then basically jumped in the river. Jumped in the pond. It's a Kavango thing. Long story. Now, what then happened was that, upon seeing truth already submerged in the pond, lies, took truth's clothes and then ran with those clothes towards a village where there was obviously a congregation of people. Truth realized that he or she was tricked, he came to the realization that, oh my God, this is a trick. So I need to get my clothes back. So Truth got out of that pond completely naked and then tried his level best to catch up with Lies in order to get his clothes back. The thing is, Truth was already nearing the village. And everyone in the village was wondering, what is Lies running from? And lo and behold, they looked a little far behind. Lies was slowly approaching even closer to the village, to a group of villages that were trying to understand what was going on. It is said that after realizing that the truth, truth was approaching, did not have any clothes on him, the whole village looked away because they did not want to look at the naked truth. Still, my favorite allegory of the whole: you don't want to acknowledge the naked truth because the truth is always naked. The truth is always difficult to face. And in any type of human relations, be it economic, political, platonic, intimate, family, matrimonial relationship, all kinds of relationship, the truth is just difficult to face because it's not sugar-coated. It's always coming in its bare form. So that's why we more often find a sneak way to basically avoid it. So, what was it? Celebrating is the word that I'm trying to avoid today because I've been reminded that this, we are observing. Celebration is especially for both National Women's Day and, for both National Women's Day and International Human Rights Day. Especially today, with what has been going on with in the world of geopolitics as of recent, it's become somewhat very difficult to classify as a celebration, or more like to describe as a celebration today's date. So, I just wanted to lay that foundation because now we go into the badlands of what is being observed in the world, both locally. In terms of women, and also international in terms of human rights. Human rights violations are being abused left, right, and center, especially in war-torn countries. If you look at Sudan, for example, is one of those examples. Sudan has been going on in one of the most, from my understanding and also observation, one of the most documented, flattered call it a documented genocide, where perpetrators are basically live streaming themselves doing some of the most diabolical things that a human being can do to another human being. Now, even if when you look at today's day, especially here in Namibia, National Women's Day, or you can just call it, I just like to call it Women's Day and International Human Rights Day, are very intertwined in a lot of ways. Because, International Human Rights Day encompasses everything, you know, all rights, also, you know, encompasses all rights that, that must be afforded to women, not just in Namibia, but the world over. And, you can see them being abused left, right, and center. And in any war zone, there's a reason why they say women and children first, because, well, first of all, they are the most vulnerable. And that's one. They are the most vulnerable. But the second one is that, if you go back to ancient mankind's warfare, especially, ancient Rome, as far as, actually the Romans did not, you know, they didn't invent that type of very questionable roles of engagement when it comes to warfare. If you want to erase a tribe, a race, or a group of people, target their women and children. Warmongers across the history of human civilization have always known that. If you want to erase a group of people off the face of the earth, target their women and children, because that is the future. If you leave, if you leave 50 men on an island, they're all cooked without a woman. If you leave 50 women on an island, they're all cooked without a man. In terms of continuation of the human species, they're all cooked. But if you leave, 50 men and one woman on an island, you're looking at a civil war, like a primitive natural mating ritual basically kicks in, where you're looking at the literal survival of the fittest, and the need to eliminate the weak begins to kick in, and there's no good that comes out of that. But if you can take for example 50 women on an island with one, two men is all you need. And you know, the continuation of human species is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Because one man can, in a span of, call it a month, can knock up, can impregnate multiple women. But because of the anatomical complexities that is required when it comes to the formation of a human being, a woman needs 9 months to literally build up another human being, and then give birth to that human being, and spend another 15 to 18 years to nurture that human being to the point where they become a productive member of society. It takes, well, forever. The resources, I mean, if you look at the contribution that my gender provides towards the continuation of human species, is just, well, one which is very questionable, because all we need is 2 minutes. Done. 9 months, yeah, nah, just 2 minutes. Problem solved. Human species guaranteed. Are we gonna be good at it? Probably not. Is the human species guaranteed to continue? Most likely. One of the South African artists, one gentleman I basically discovered back in high school. His name is Mzwaki Mburi, and one of his poems that I think what he does is poem. He does more like poem-ish spoken word type of artistic expression. One which is my favorite from the gentleman is ends with him saying that it's not the end, it's just somewhere in the middle, where he says, women are caregivers by nature. Okay. That actually. And there's another, I'm not sure if it's a Xhosa or Zulu expression that says something like, Watinta bafas, watinta bokoto, don't bite me. I have no idea what I'm saying here. But, the expression translates into, you strike a rock, you strike a woman, or the other way around. One of the two. Whatever your thoughts are on women, whatever your thoughts are on women. One thing that nature will always remind you is, at some point, a woman was pregnant for you to be having those thoughts for or against women. Ouch. Oh boy. That's an interesting reminder, but it's just something I thought I should, point out. I know. Short, fat, tall, black, white, gay, straight. Bottom line is, at some point, someone was pregnant for you to be here, for you to be listening, for you to be there, for you to be saying all these things, positive or negative, against women. At some point, someone had to change diapers. It's very humbling. That's why a lot of, more often we just avoid it because it's an attack on our ego. But lucky for yours truly here, the beautiful part of having a microphone in your face is you can get to point out some things that are very, a lot of people seem to find very uncomfortable. And I'm human being, believe me. I'm one of those people that go like, should we really be talking about this? But now let's look at International Human Rights Day. International Human Rights Day, to start off at least here at home, if you are Namibian, it's safe to say that you will be celebrating. It's easy for you and I that find ourselves in countries that have a political stability like Namibia, for example, as a celebration. We can refer to that. We can use the word celebration. But there are countries that cannot use the word celebration. The best they can use is observation. We are observing Human Rights Day. They are inherent. They are natural rights. Take things like do not kill, for example. You don't need a law to tell you not to kill. Because if you need a written law to tell you not to kill, I really don't think you should be outside a solitary confinement. Yeah. I don't think that should be happening. You should be somewhere where, as far from civilization as possible. Because those are natural laws. It's something that that's inherent in you. Sort of like reproduction. No one teaches us the arts of the bedroom. I know my parents didn't teach me that, really. Seeing how good you are in bed. Which one of your parents really taught you that? Actually, even if it was teachable by your parents, it would be creepy. Which is why you just have to go out there and figure it out in a way that it does not end up with you coming back with a safe of STDs. That's where sex education becomes very important. Now, in Africa, that's a whole different discussion. Thanks to culture. That's a whole different discussion. Mom, I have a boyfriend. Mother, check. Dad, I have a boyfriend. Point of correction, that's not going to be mad. That's going to be incineration. So, International Human Rights Day. The fact that we are using the word observing International Human Rights Day points to a lot of mostly armed conflicts that have been taking place across the planet. Now, if you look at places like Sudan, there's this dreaded guy that went viral because of just filming himself torturing people, mostly women. Human rights violations. And if you look at pretty much every war zone from Ukraine to Gaza, you can call it basically especially Gaza. It's human rights violation after another, human rights violation after another. And now you have what constitutes human rights violation. All these things are now they are now buried in legal jargon. What is a genocide? Now we need we need scholars to come and explain to us that blowing children up is not a good thing to do. That's where we find ourselves right now, with our PhDs in all fields of study. With our PhDs in all fields of study, we are now asking, oh, you know what? This regime is blowing up children. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Should we condemn it or not? And condemnation is one of those words that brings me to what is going to be very central to today's discussion. I mean, to today's home run, which is, law and enforcement goes hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Every time that you have one without the other, you have a lot of problems on your hands. And that's one of the biggest debates, even, going from a regular helmet, Joe and helmet, all the way up to the academic, to academic scholars, or more like scholars themselves, legal scholars themselves, that are asking that very important question. Can you have laws without measures of enforcement? The answer is yes. You can have legislative pieces without any means of enforcement in place. But the thing is, how easy is it going to be to uphold these laws? It's not easy. If you can't, if you have laws that don't have any enforcement mechanism, you are going to run into a lot of problems that the UN actually right now, not just the UN, but pretty much every international institution is facing. If you can't enforce a law, it's going to be very difficult for people that following this law is most likely going to be optional. Those that have the military power can just break international law at will. They can do that. The U.S. is busy bombing what the U.S. keeps claiming that it's narcotic or drug trafficking boats in the Caribbean, especially the parts of South America. But the people in that geographical area keep saying those are fishing boats. Now, here's the thing. Even if those were drug traffickers, execution from the screen, it's against international law. That means, if you look at Namibian constitution, for example, Article 18 is about the proper administration of justice, which it basically entails that even if a helmet is prosecuted and convicted of a crime, he still has rights. Yes, you will have to throw me in jail, but you're gonna have to feed me. I'm gonna need proper accommodations. I'm gonna need proper meals. If I'm sick, I'm gonna need access to a doctor. The fact that I'm guilty of a crime does not mean if I have COVID-19, I don't need Sputnik, or I don't deserve Sputnik. No. There are countries that have death penalties. That's them. But even countries that have death penalties, they don't just go around executing people left, right, and center. There's a prosecution process that's put in place. Now, when you have a country like the US, for example, that serves as the headquarters of the United Nations, blowing up people without due process in terms of legal prosecution, the legitimacy of international institutions, especially when it, especially as it relates to serving its purpose of protecting, global order, they are stretched. They are put to a serious test. Which is one of the questions I asked when the U.S. decided to put together what's this act? The Hague Hague Invasion Act. They passed a piece of legislation in the U.S. during the early days of the ICC, putting in place where they were trying to investigate American servicemen, military personnel, and basically servicemen, possible war crimes or any human rights violations in the Middle East, especially is it Iraq or Afghanistan. This basically backed up its military and said, no one is going to prosecute our service members. Anyone that is going to arrest and prosecute our service members is going to face our military might. Now, the military might here is, this is by far the military superpower. Albeit that power is slowly slipping away, which is why you have all this, more like military competition that you have between especially China and the US. This is the same thing that you are looking at in the late 1700, early 1800 between the US and Great Britain. It's one reason why I love history. What you have here is that, take Namibia, for example. If we basically have this problem. We have a lot of illegal fishing taking place in our taking place in our maritime zones, and I think on Homerun we talked about it. I think it about a month or two ago when it was revealed that one of the shipping vessels, I think, that is it shipping or military vessel that is supposed to be used to patrol our seas have been in service for about a year or two now. That means for about a year or two, the Republic of Namibia's maritime borders have been up for grabs. If you have a net, just go out there and fish. No one is looking because, well, the boat that's supposed to be used to do the looking have been under service. I think that was a standing committee of natural resources from the National Council or National Assembly, one of the two. So, we have a navy. If our navy ran into, some illegal fishermen and we blew them up, you can only imagine the international condemnation and the possible tariffs, sanctions, you name it. It will be raining on us. Why? It's because we don't have the military and economic power to basically look at everyone that would come against us and tell them, what are you going to do? But countries like China, Russia, and the U.S., they have the military power to basically look at countries like Namibia and go like, I blew up people without due process. What are you going to do? It's like, running to someone that has all the muscles from the gym. You know, those ones that are all buff, from the waist up, questionable from the waist down. And they are going, they just bump into you and you are as tiny as helmet. You want to fight, but you are just being honest with yourself. Like, what do you really stand a chance? Even if they looked at you and went like, what are you going to do? Go like, actually nothing. And by the way, stop doing that. I'm just saying this to those of you with muscles. Stop doing that because, things can be outsourced nowadays. All I just have to do is just withdraw my hard-earned money from my 32-day account, go to Turaboy, give them your picture, and then tell them, you know what? If you can just kick the crap out of this guy and you meet me at this spot, this money is going to be yours. So careful of how you run into guys with tiny muscles, because as in everything else on this planet, even getting someone's behind beaten up can be outsourced. Just get yourself a few middlemen, and it turns out, looking at the cost of living and the desperation in terms of finances, all you just have to do is get yourself a subcontractor. Just subcontract someone. Get a gang. They can get someone beat up really good. So, all I'm saying is, be nice to people, whether they have muscles or not. Speaking from experience, the lack of muscles part, not the getting beaten up by subcontracted guys part. 3 minutes into the hour of the time is 3 minutes into the hour of five. If you just tuned in, this is Helmed on Eagle FM, and today's National Women's Day here in Namibia, and on an international level, it's International Human Rights Day. What are human rights on the other side of the break? What are human rights, and what are most people's perception? Because now I just want to bring everything home before I go full international. There's a part of human rights that a lot of us miss, and that part is human rights also means human responsibilities. Rights are powers, and like all powers, it comes with responsibilities. But before the break, Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. Please do stay tuned.
Goeie nuus, Skimba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinter nuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Skimba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Skimba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Skimba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Welcome back. 5 minutes into the hour of five. Home Run with Helmed. What are human rights? Now, for us to, actually, you know, there are those, human rights as, can easily be equated to numbers. You have natural numbers, and then you have, all kinds of, basically, of numbers. You have your, prime numbers, you have your, prime numbers. Yeah, prime numbers are my favorite. Because they are rare, they are scarce. Numbers that you can only divide by one and the number itself. Math is really nice. Actually, numbers alone in math are boring. Throw in a couple of letters as variables and call it algebra. Ooh. Oh, fun fact. Someone in Canada decided to, which is why education is the key, people. One of the key to knowledge is power. Sorry, forget the education part. We all know that. To get loaded, you can forget education and just become corrupt, and you still be loaded as long as you are able to evade ACC and Sankwasam. Someone in Canada, I think that was on Twitter, decided to put up a post that the government of Canada have decided to introduce Arabic numbers in our schools, and people went bananas. Can someone please do that in Namibia? Just create a post that says the Namibian government is looking to introduce Arabic numbers in our schools. And see just how many people don't know that the numbers they are using right now are already Arabic. So, as you can imagine, a bunch of the Canadian population went nuts by saying, no, well, Muslims are just taking over our society. These guys are unbelievable. I am not going to stand for that. I'm not going to allow my kids to learn Arabic numbers. Now, what these idiots did not know was that the kids already use Arabic numbers. Every time your child is telling you that they are doing algebra, why do you think that word sounds more Arabic than it does English? It's because it has Arabic roots. Parallelogram. Pythagoras. There's nothing that, how to put this, let me just be in a safe space here. There are not a lot of things that are very native to any culture. Because if you look at any culture, even on a tribal level, you will realize that some of the cultural practice and some of the folklores and stories and type of diets and more like culinary delicacies or practices or songs are adopted from other tribes around you. One thing that I also, one thing that I came to learn that I can easily use as an example is that, my tribe, that being Mbokushu, if you ask a lot of Mbokushus to tell you, some of the Mbokushu folklores, they are going to tell you this folklore in Mbokushu, but the singing part is most likely going to be in Nyemba or Giriku. Mostly is either Nyemba or Giriku, one of these two. Now, growing up now, listening to a lot of, listening to a lot of Mbokushu, Mbokushu folklores, I kept wondering that, why is that the whole story is in the Mbokushu, but the singing part is in Nyemba. Am I missing something? Now, well, someone had to point out to me that, Oga, actually, any Mbokushu can ask that question, just not you. In reference to me, I was like, okay, why? Like, first of all, your name is Mahongo. Mahongo is a Nyemba. So, good. Like, so that's why I basically decided to drop everything. So, every type of practice. So, language is the same. A lot of words you use in your language can be traced to other languages. English is the same. English is a, it's a melting pot of German, French, Latin, Greek, all of it. It's nothing is really like 100% native. Everything is a melting pot. All of it. So, coming back to human rights. This is the right that you're afforded by law to live life in the most, in the basic of terms, to live life in the most comfortable way that you see fit. But every time that we talk about human rights, and I see the same thing on all, on a local, regional, and international level, we are very good at talking about rights. We don't talk about responsibilities that comes with those rights. And we wonder why nothing is changing in terms of advocating for these specific rights. Life, for example. Life is your right, everyone has a right to life. In other words, no one has the right to take your life. Now, because you have the right to be alive, I have the responsibility to not take your life. Your right is my responsibility. My right is your responsibility. That I did not actually come up with on my own. As much as I want to take all the credit for it, that I got for, I got that for when I actually put it together. I knew that rights and responsibility were mutually exclusive, but I did not think of it in that exclusivity. Until the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson pointed it out. You have the right to own property as an individual, as long as you are buying this property. Now, I don't recommend open market. Affordable, I get it, believe me. But the chances of you, can you imagine the awkwardness of you being in a, you being chilling in a club with a phone that you bought on open market and someone saying, this looks like my phone. And then you find yourself with the police. And like, okay, now let's produce a proof of ownership for this device now, shall we? And then the owner of the phone comes with a box and all the paperwork and the receipts, and all you have is word of mouth. There's this guy I met on Facebook, and he was selling the phone. I bought it from him. I'm like, stolen property. Most likely stolen property. That's why every time someone sells you stuff, please ask for the box and the documentations that comes with it. Thank you. I know, user manual. Who reads that anymore? We'll just learn by trial and error. So, every time that we talk about rights, we more often forget that those rights comes with responsibilities. And how if you just look at it in that way, it begins to show how everything is tailored towards building a better society. Because if everyone knew that They have rights, yes, but they also have responsibilities. We all have rights and responsibilities all at once. I have rights and also responsibilities. You have rights and also responsibilities. You have the right to own property. I have the responsibility to not damage your property. You have rights to own property. I have responsibilities not to steal your property. I have a responsibility not to take your property without your permission. Now, this is the dumbest part of mankind now, because we all run around singing the same song. It's my right, it's my right, it's my right, it's my right. No one, I'm yet to hear anyone said, okay, you know what? I've got to be responsible here. Because that person, it's their right to keep, you know, it's their right to have all the 32 teeth in their mouth. Therefore, I have the responsibility not to punch their 32 teeth out of their mouth, not to punch any, even one or two. Nope, no. It's my right to have all my 32 teeth in my mouth. Now, it's your responsibility to not subtract those 32 teeth, any number of teeth in my mouth. I already have sugar doing that. Relax. I have, you know, I have that sorted out. Tooth decay is already doing that. Tooth decay also must, you know, listen to human rights. So, every time that we talk about rights, we barely talk about the responsibilities that comes with these rights. It's my right to have, it's my right to drive my car. It's your responsibility not to hijack me. That's, you know, damaging to property. Now, mental health, my right to have a good state of mind. It's your responsibility not to traumatize me. If you ever find yourself in legal trouble and you hear the judge saying patrimonial and non-patrimonial harm, congratulations, you have just discovered that type of harm that is not physical. You're still paying for it. You're still paying for it. If you traumatize someone, you're gonna end up in legal trouble. You caused them psychological harm. I know. But no. The most interesting part to have these discussions is in Africa. Because this is where, you now find somewhat, cultural values that we want to uphold. And, modern international law basically on a collision course. Where you have, in our culture, I can do this. In our culture, I can do that. Except civil law triumphs for the most part. A lot of legal documents, if you can use that. And the same then goes in terms of application. Enforcement, application, potato, potato. So what you begin to see is, in our culture, I can marry 2, 3, 4, 5 wives. But if you live in Namibia, civil law is only going to recognize one. We are working our way into the direction of maybe, you know, introducing polygamy into civil law. There are a lot of countries that have that. Interesting enough, countries that have polygamy as part of their legal marriage, as it's more often referred to, they have larger degree of intertwining of their, of religion and constitution. This is why it's very common in Muslim countries, because they don't describe themselves as we are predominantly Christian, but we are a secular country. In other words, that even though we're predominantly Christian, You can practice whatever religion you want. You want to be, you want to be a Muslim? Go ahead. No one is going to disturb you. You want to be Hindu? You can practice that. You want to be, you want to be a Christian? Do that. You want to be an atheist? Do that. But in some countries, they have a very strict rules of, around, a religion that one can belong to. Because religious influence, literal religious influence, runs all the way up to the executive branch. Actually, I like ours more. Because you can't just assume everyone is going to believe, is going to have your religious perspective. Like, really? What if I don't want to? You can't force me. Let's say, even if you forced me, speaking as a Christian, if you forced everyone to be a Christian, the very Bible that you use is going to tell you, these decisions must be made by free will. All you just have to do is tell them, spread the gospel. Or they say, spread the gospel. Then the people will make up their mind on whether or not they want to believe what you are telling them. If they don't want to, it's up to them. If they want to, again, it's up to them. Now, if it was mandatory, you'd have a lot of people showing up to church going like, what the heck am I showing in? Now, if it wasn't for the law, I don't believe in all this spiritual aspect of this. I'm just here because I don't want to go to jail. And religions like Christianity emphasize more of free will. You're going to have to make your decision. This is what you have to believe if you belong to this to this religion. But if you don't want to, I mean, go ahead. Even those ones that have chosen to believe in the religion of Christianity, they are very holy on Sunday or Saturday, depending on which day you go to church. And Monday to Friday, Jesus Christ, the most unholiest people on the planet. Speaking from experience on that one, that's not even a joke. I really wish it was a joke. And I know there are a lot of Christians out there that are going, especially in Christmas. We're chilling with the deacons here, Baba. They are wearing hoodies in summer because, there are cameras everywhere these days. So, human rights comes with human responsibilities. But one of the biggest problem why we have a problem upholding human rights to the highest standard that we ourselves set is that we are very good at preaching the rights part, but not the responsibilities part. Therefore, you have everyone drunk on, I know my rights. I pity police officers because they hear that a lot. I know my right. This is someone who is drunk. I know my right. Do you? Do you really know your right? If I was a police officer, every time someone tells me I know my rights, I would tell them, I can see that. But I'm beginning to see you know your rights, yes. But you don't know your responsibilities that comes with those rights. Running around shouting, I know my rights, is not enough. Do you know your responsibilities? Your responsibilities is you are not supposed to put people in harm's way by driving drunk. That's your responsibility. Because you are in a public road, there are people that are also driving in that public road in their cars. That car is their properties. Now, they have the right to own that property in its not damaged form. You, on the other hand, drunk on your rights, and Jefferson, or Mbike, depending on your taste on drunkenness. Then you run into their vehicle. They have the right to live. They have the right to own property. So you driving drunk is putting their rights in harm's way. Therefore, when a police officer shows up and tells you, you are driving drunk, therefore, holding cell, please, until tomorrow morning. Thank you. Please, you don't know your right. Okay, you can know your right then. But clearly, 50%, congratulations. At least you know your rights. But the 50% will give you that congratulation when you know your responsibilities. Rights, responsibilities. You need both of them. You can't have one without the other. If you just say, okay, fine. As long as I know my rights, I don't care about other people's responsibilities. I don't care about other people's rights. Here's the thing. Your rights are only valid if those people that you are looking at know those rights And they understand that it's their responsibility not to violate those rights. Because if everyone decided, you know what, as long, all I care about is my rights, I don't care about everyone else's rights, then that will not make any sense. Everyone will violate everyone's rights. And therefore, there won't be any rights for anyone. It's actually beautiful when you look at it in those technical terms. That ego that you have when you're walking around, that you have rights. Yes, you do. You know your rights. Maybe that one is an if. If you know your rights. And that's a man-sized if. If you know your rights, you also know that other peoples around you, they also have rights. And their rights are dependent on you exercising your responsibility in relations to those rights. And your rights are only as valid and significant as those people, as those people knowing that they have a responsibility to not violate your rights. I'm gonna check. Now, anyway, again, the song must be rights equals responsibilities. You can't have one without the other. If you take one out of the equation, the other disappears by default. If you have responsibilities, you take out rights, you don't have responsibilities. Because responsibilities towards what? Because you have responsibilities towards, you have to be responsible towards someone's rights. You take out rights, you don't have responsibilities. You take out, you have rights because someone has a responsibility not to violate those rights. Now, as obvious as that seems, a lot of us are more fixated on, it's my right to do this, but whatever happens to someone else, I don't care. And you wonder why your rights are also violated. If you are very good at violating other people's rights, you can't be angry or complain when someone is violating yours. Because, well, they're just giving you a taste of your own medicine. Yeah. It's a beautiful concept. Quick break. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. If you just tuned in, this is a Home Run with Helmed. This is Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 6, and that is in 33 minutes. And International Human Rights Day. International Human Rights Day and National Women's Day. Now, human rights are very easy to sing, but like Adlai Stevenson points out, it's far easier to fight for principles than live up to them. That's a very profound statement, especially when it comes to the human rights discussion. Many of us run around saying, I know my rights, but are we living up to our responsibilities? That basically helps uphold those rights in place, because if no one wants to exercise their responsibility, no one is going to have rights. You can only have rights if I know my responsibilities towards those rights. I can only have rights if you know your responsibilities towards my rights. And if we are both throwing the, you know, throwing caution to the wind with regards to the responsibilities, and we're only focused on rights, rights, rights. No one is going to have rights. It's very mutual. You can't have one without the other. You can't have yours if I don't have mine. That's beautiful. So, this whole human rights thing. I mean, what are human rights? Now, according to the UN, the guys that basically put this whole concept in place, not the natural law, of course it's natural, they basically documented everything and now we have to read about it. What are human rights? According to the UN, human rights are rights inherent, that means they are basically natural. Yeah. Rights inherent to all human beings, regardless of race, sex, nationality, ethnicity, language, region, or any other status. In other words, you can't just genocide people because you don't believe in their God. You have no idea how much of human history has stories like that. Just look up Armenian genocide. You can't just imprison people because they have a different skin color from you. That was apartheid. Basically, transatlantic slave trade. And I know, they like to say, no, you know what, this was just purely humankind being savage. No, that was all profit-driven. That was all profit-driven. It's all about money. At the end of the day, it's all about money. It has always been about money when it comes to these things. Human rights are rights inherent to all human beings, regardless of race, sex, nationality, ethnicity, language, religion, or any other status. Human rights include the right to life, liberty, freedom from slavery and torture, freedom of opinion and expression, the right to work and education, and many more. Everyone is entitled to these rights without discrimination. You know, I thought I was hearing things. It turns out it's just Mother Nature blessing us with some showers. I mean, rain. I will make mistakes in life, not showering twice a day. International human rights law. This, if you ask me, is the, like, international law is the most, look, I thought criminal law was, from my first class. Look, the thing is, when it comes to law, criminal law is the most, portrayed on television. Which is why a lot of people, every time they think about lawyers, they only think about criminal lawyers. Criminal lawyers is the first thing that pops up because they are these are the guys you see running around in most movies going, Your Honor, my Lord, this and this and that. But, lawyers are like doctors. The same way that you have, pediatricians and you have, general practitioners, you have, eye surgeons, you have neurosurgeons and all, or you have all that. Lawyers are the same. You have environmental lawyers, you have, divorce lawyers, you have conveyancy lawyers. Now those are the rich guys. You have lawyers that make the most money don't even show up in court. I was shocked to find that too. Most of them are just chilling. And most of the legal disputes are settled out of court because we are human beings, not animals. Court is the last resort. When you don't want to understand each other, when you feel like you're on your own, you are not matured enough to reach a unanimous consensus, then you can just, go to the state and say, could you please help us here? This moron borrowed my money from me and now does not want to pay it back. Was I wrong to borrow this more of the money? And then you can say, no, I paid the money. It's just that tomboy is pretending to be have amnesia. So, please, help us here. The state comes in and mediates. That's basically what they're doing. They're mediating. And then there's movies now. Movies comes in and everyone is going, especially, you know, in a lot of movies, I'll sue you. Okay, first of all, that's a rich people thing. That's a very rich people thing. Because civil lawsuits are ridiculously expensive. And the longer they go, the more money you pay. And at the end of the day, if you lose, you carry the cost. What that translates is that if you sue me and I win, all the costs that I paid my lawyers, by the way, I didn't want to be in court. I didn't want to be in this position where I have to face this litigation. You brought this on me. Therefore, here's an invoice. Thank you very much. I want my money. I want my notification by 6 o'clock. Thank you. Civil lawsuits are ridiculously expensive. Let's just say lawsuits are ridiculously expensive. Ridiculously expensive. So before you run around saying, I will sue you, ask yourself, can you afford a lawyer for 1 hour? Forget a day, 1 hour. Can you? Just over the phone, just over the phone legal advice. Because they have, when you're sitting face to face, that's a different charge. The different amount of charge that they're charging you per specific time period. Like, last time I checked is that, are they charging the 15 minutes, 30 minutes or an hour? One of these two. Now, that's how much you are paying. So if you sit in there, if you are looking things like, conciliation or, why do you think court cases don't take that long? It's because the longer it takes, okay, the more money it basically goes. And now those consultations that are out of court, you are paying for those separate. Yeah. If you are broke, chances are very high. Yeah, you don't know your rights. No, just know your rights, guys. Just know your rights. Back to our UN. The Declaration of Human Rights. The United Nations, that's where our human rights are coming from. The UDHR, Declarations of Human Rights. We're still with the UN here. Just stay with me. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a milestone document in the history of human rights, drafted by drafted by representatives with different legal and cultural backgrounds from all regions of the world. Well, let me just continue, please. The declaration was proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly in Paris on 10 December 1948. In Paris, 10 December 1948. You wanna know when most African countries started when some point of correction, not most, some African countries began to get their independence? 1960s. This human rights thing came from the time when a bunch of guys that set to draft it thought if you had melanin, you are not a human being. Therefore, you didn't deserve the rights to be alive, to go to school, have a family, have own property, among other things. The twisted point of view with regards to human beings that they held was that if you are putting on a skirt, then now, it's kind of hard for you to do fields of study like science and law. I mean, if you are a woman, the best place for you is the kitchen. Now, only to wrap your mind around this, before you start saying men are God-given leaders. Guys, before you start making points like that, I really want to join you, but as a history lover, I'm here to tell you before you actually start running around shouting that. We don't have historical reference that's good enough to back up that statement. We don't. One, if you sit and write a list of a list of dictators that have ever walked this earth, you're looking at a list of mostly men. Women have slowly, using Tanzania as an example,
even there, that one is still questionable whether they qualify to be added to the dictatorship list or not. And so that's one. One, if you write a list of dictators, you are going to run up to come up with a list of a lot of men. That's one. Number two, that was just a lot of crap. If you're a woman, you can't do meth. That was a belief that was at some point held by a group of men. The hierarchy was like this. You must be Christian, white, men. Then you have all the power in the world. A point of correction. You must be rich, Christian, white, men. Then you have all the power in the world. If you're Christian, if you are not Christian and you're white, you are less, you're just a step below the rich Christian white. Now, if you are a white, but woman, just, a couple of steps below, you are below the rich white Christian, but you are also below the white men, rich or broke. And then you have now the woman, white. Now, if you are black, or more like if you are not white, but you're Christian, you can go through that hierarchy. It's frying my brain. So they had all this hierarchy. In the 1940s, they drafted that document, and then the UN now as an international body fought tooth and nail to make sure that these rights are as universally applicable as possible. This is where we saw now in terms of our beautiful republic here, the UN passing of, the UN, passing of resolution 435, one of those, UN programs basically that led to Namibia's independence. That was the UN saying, okay guys, it's a universal declaration of human rights. It's a universal declaration of human rights. You can't make it a demographic declaration. No, it's supposed to be universal. So, international bodies like the UN now had to fight tooth and nail to make sure that, the word universal was actually practiced, was put in practice. But before we continue, quick break, home run. On Eagle FM with Helmut and a quiet Dwight.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
And welcome back. We continue 17 minutes to the hour of 6. If you just joined, this is a home run with Helmut on Eagle FM. So let's look at let's just wrap the human rights definition and also the where the whole discussion is coming from. It's coming from the 1940s. What's going on in the world, especially in the Western world, especially the current U.S. foreign policy. This is something that's been going on for a while, especially the current U.S. Foreign policy is really putting the, international institutions, its legitimacy, it's putting it to a test where, a lot of international laws are being violated. One of which is, execution without a trial is against international law. But if you look at it, this is what basically America is doing in the Caribbean with the, you know, with those shipping boats. Again, it's against international law. But, the way things work in practical reality, not theory, practical reality is that it's very, very hard to enforce a law that you don't have any enforcement mechanisms of. That's the biggest problem, if you ask me, of international law. We have these laws that are dependent on you. International law is supposed to be. We have a lot of literature that is written to the point coming out of international organizations or institutions like the UN. Human rights or animal rights or the protection of environment and all that. We have all this, but the enforcement of this law of these laws is heavily reliant on, on the member states of these institutions. And so is the funding, by the way, of this organization is also heavily reliant on these institutions. And the enforcement is also reliant on the countries, the member states that have the economic power to fund the mechanisms of enforcement of any of these laws once they are broken. Now you have a big problem here. You just have one big problem. You can take, for countries that are very strong member states, for countries that are very strong economically, politically, and militarily, the best you can do is condemn them, which is just some nonsense we've been hearing for a very long time. We condemn in strongest terms. And then everyone sits. Then the genocide continues. And then we come back again next year. Well, the following year, we hold another summit. We meet there and eat a lot of sushi. Someone will put diarrhea medicine in that sushi. But anyway. It's tempting. No?
must I still stay silent?
No, you don't have to.
Okay. Let's put a comma after your sushi now.
Yeah.
So yesterday on the radar, I had the discussion with Dominga. You remember Dominga?
Yeah.
That we've had also here on other platforms.
Yeah, on Omran.
Now, she's currently wearing a different hat in Addis Ababa as the branch chairperson of the Namibian branch for young women of Africa that is in partnership with the AU, obviously, yeah, on terms of this, because it coincides with this 10 December discussion of International Human Rights Day.
Yeah.
And one of the questions I asked her specifically, because obviously that get-together also is still under the overall AU theme. Remember the AU theme of reparative justice?
Yeah.
And I asked her, was the EU present in terms of engaging with them
at the event?
And she says the EU is present there and they're like a silent observer, like what I have now almost been for the past 10 minutes now. and I asked, was there any indication given of trying to sort out this particular dark history between Africa and Europe
in terms of reparation?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the particular pains that Europe and some Africans have caused on the African continent. And she highlighted specifically, that seems like a conversation that will take not just our generation, but possibly also the next generation.
A long time.
Because it looks like a conversation that gets deferred. Now, you and I know, in layman's terms, what the term deferred usually means. Deferment in accounting and even in legal tenses means, oh no, it's not my responsibility right now. Let's shift it down the line.
Next guy.
Let's make it the issue of the next guy. Let's make it the issue of the next administration, the issue of the next committee, of the next supervisory body, of the next world order or national leader. Mm-hmm. It always gets pushed down the line, you know?
We don't want to talk about it.
We even use words like, no, we can't deal with it right now. Then what are we talking about? Remember when you and I, back in last year, in those early shows of ours, of the Home Run together, where we came both of us to the conclusion where Namibia's inequality starts from. Namibia's inequality starts because of Hendrik Verwoerden, the other guys that started with the Group Areas Act in South Africa. It starts way earlier than that. Meaning it starts from our colonial chapter.
Everything, it all ties into our colonial past.
Exactly. And it all starts from that particular dark history of Namibia based upon Namibia's genocide. Now, when you draw a line immediately back there, Helmut, and this is also some of the things that happened that I mentioned back in the cultural tourism discussion of August. Remember, after I came back from the trip to the north, looking at how to try and enrich the cultural tourism. Mm-hmm. Some of the history that we don't even know about. For example, like the history around the Namatuani Fort, which I was told there by the guide that guided us, that it's actually also it's a misnomer, the name for Namatuani.
Namatuani, yeah.
Yeah, because it's actually there's a letter that's missing before the word, because it's an Oshawamba word. There's a letter missing in front of the word, Namatuani, the name for the fort.
Huh.
Anyone that knows will know what I'm talking about, because that was the explanation we were given. Because as the word currently is there and being used in broader discourse and in identity of the National Park of Etosha.
The one that's in mainstream use.
Yeah, it's technically pronounced incorrectly, the term. However, even the history around that fort and the history of the park's establishment. For example, the battles we don't know about, but all the tourists that land here at Hosea Kotako drive all the way through in those rented cars to Etosha, they go see that there were pitched battles between what was the Ndonga king that fought against the Germans there?
Okay, so what are you telling me that tourists know more about our history than us?
Exactly! Okay. Now, right because there is a right.
Holiday is village. But anyway.
Right there is a right. The right to know about your own history. The right to know about your country's history.
Yeah.
And this means, even if it's a right based upon, you know, groups that are now currently within our borders,
yeah,
the harms that they've caused each other, the relationship that has existed pre a united Namibia, pre a unified independent Namibia.
Yeah.
But we're not being taught those things. We're not being taught those things, Helmut.
History is written by the victor.
Not even by the victor, because in so many...
That's what I was laughing about yesterday.
You know, no, that's something that happens a lot, for example, like with the UN's history.
Mm.
Remember now that Russia and China, they keep saying now more boldly about their role that they played in the Second World War chapter of the Global World War.
Yeah, one that portrays, especially Second World War beyond...
The Western Front,
Saving Private Ryan,
and a thin red line in Papua New Guinea. Yeah. You know, now everybody sees. Oh, so this is what the history looked like.
Yeah,
I mean, Helmut, that trip that the trip to China that I had last week, coming back, we were shown the first pitch battles that Mao Zedong and his second in command, Zhu De, had against Chiang Kai-shek.
Oh, you're
the guys that called themselves the Republic or the Republicans.
Chiang Kai-shek.
The guys that ran to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And the damage that they caused. Helmut, literally to be taken through those tours and everything, you know, that pitched battle. It was ugly terrain. But it's just as ugly terrain to hear specifically about the pitched battles of, you know, how guys had to crawl over an open space while the Germans are looking at them going like, you know what? I've got a whole bunch of good bullets right here and I can see the whole bunch of you guys over there. So how about I, start plucking some ducks from far? And that was the realities of back then, of Namibia's history. We're not being told these histories.
No.
We're not. Besides, obviously, the free subsidization of university that's going to take place next year, which I have a bad feeling Helmut will sort of like, you know, you and I are somehow disqualified. I'm going to have an interesting conversation tomorrow with a student union about some of the topsy-turvy situations that I read in the statement.
Yeah, they're only going for undergrads first.
But there's also provision to
postgrads?
For postgrads who are pursuing honors. But there's a provision of who may not, especially those that are trying to pursue an honors as a postgrad. So you can fund those that are pursuing an honors,
mm-hmm.
and you can also disqualify those that are trying to pursue an honors.
But this is a giant check, though.
Because
all of a sudden, everyone is going to start a university.
Because an honors, here's the worst part. Mm-hmm. An honors is identified in Namibia, in South Africa, and in other parts of the world as a postgrad degree. And there's literally two sections in that statement that the minister highlighted on Tuesday that says, yes, those pursuing an honors as a postgrad, and no to those pursuing that want to pursue an honors as a postgrad. And now you're sitting there, what's a goed gaan hieraan? Which one comes before which one? So the ambiguity exists. I'll try to sort out that question tomorrow. But a right has also been solved there.
Yeah.
Because if you go now, for example, like I told you, if you now go to places in Europe, you're going to get free university in some parts.
You know one thing that, one thing about the implementation of subsidized, especially services, that we more often don't talk about every time that we just, embrace the whole idea of subsidized services, is that when we look at countries that have fully implemented subsidization of a lot of services, say, from health, education, transport, you name it.
Mm.
Have you seen their income taxes?
Yeah. If you go to Germany, I think it's like at 45 to 55. If it's in Denmark, it's in the 55 region. 55%.
Yeah, so, now. So if we find ourselves with the income taxes increasing, don't wonder.
But here's the thing.
If you want subsidized something, obviously it's going to, look, which is why I think, I have a problem with the word free.
And me too. I also have a
problem. I have a problem with the word free. It's not free. You are paying for it, just not directly.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a very good way of basically incentivizing incentivizing is not the right word. You know, basically taking a burden a little off.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, instead of you just paying for it directly, it's much easier to pay for it more like in chunks.
Mm.
Yeah. More as a group. The same way that it would be hard for me to basically travel to take, for example, go for a tour somewhere to Europe alone.
Mm.
But if you just come together as a group and put money together, that would be much easier. That's why there are a lot of travel groups.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
And you buy the packages.
Exactly.
Which is obviously discounted rates.
Yeah, travel services also have come to that realization that bulk people buying. Are traveling in groups. So the bulk buying, and also they do offer discounts
and it's also another bonus of a safety bonus because
safety
if it's a bunch of people together, they feel more comfortable and they can enjoy the trip a lot more. However, there's always a caveat, Helmut.
There's always
pros
and cons.
Our biggest concern still is obviously after the local election or local authority elections.
Yeah.
Our biggest concern has been that the local authorities have to step up game. Now, we've exercised the right in giving someone a vote for a local seat as a councillor.
Yeah.
The question is, what can that person do? Because if you are living in a town that is still the same since 1990, since its origins, probably in 1930 when the Germans put it together, or before that in 1918 when the Germans had to hand over everything to South Africans, You are in serious trouble as a town. Because that means a right is being negated there. Meaning, a councillor does not know that they've actually got to work for the community that voted them in.
When it comes to public office, one thing I've come to learn is that, the level of cohesion required.
True.
Yeah, the level of cohesion required, not like on any level, on a constituency level, regional level, local authority level, all the way to central government. Mm-hmm. The level of cohesion required is insane, which is why politics should not be part of it. Otherwise, there's no progress that's gonna happen.
And for some reason, I don't believe that even politics on a local authority level mm-hmm. should be dictating or should be an issue for regional development of your country.
Politics is one of those things I've learned that adults can be petty.
Yeah, very petty.
Really petty.
And really immature.
Yeah.
Really, really immature. Because here's the biggest concern, Helmut. We're giving an adult who's going to be there only for 5 years a lot of power. But if you look at the day-to-day administrators, meaning the CEO of the town council,
those ones that are,
and the managers
that are going to be there beyond that 5 years,
that have been working there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Those guys have got a bigger responsibility than a councillor than you can vote out 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Now you've got to wait every 5 years for that councillor to vacate his or her seat or for them to lose it. Because that councillor could be someone that can literally hold a whole bunch of council decisions hostage.
Yeah.
Just because that councillor feels like, oh, the other half of the town is from that opposition party.
Okay.
So what? But yeah.
I see your audio is exactly 1 hour. Man, talk about perfect timing.
Yeah.
Enjoy what is, left of today's Human Rights Day. I mean, it's four. It's Human Rights Day and, it's also Namibian Women's Day. Two birds with one stone. Not that it's something negative. Just saying, you know your rights, yes. But you also have to understand that, for you to have your rights, the people around you must be responsible enough not to violate those rights. And the same goes for you. Your rights are my responsibilities and my rights are your responsibilities. Otherwise, no one is going to have any rights. Anyone that's driving in that public road has, they have the right to be alive. They have a right to be healthy. They have a right to own that property. That property they call a car. Mm. And you have a responsibility not to damage that property or cause harm to their life anyway, psychologically or physically. Is that easy? All you just have to do is grow up. And oh yeah, just be safe, fasten a seatbelt and watch the road. And let me just remind you something we all don't like to face. The car is yours. The road is not. A point of correction. The car is for the bank. The road is not. Basically, you don't own any of it. Have a good day.
And on that side, guys, let's see each other again tomorrow.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushenjife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onoreta timwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa bera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.